The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then Saul rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? Has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from the Revelation of John, chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals. And between the throne and the 4 living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with 7 horns, with 7 eyes. And these are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth." And he went out and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering many myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. They were saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They all knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson just read, John chapter 21. The sermon title is Fishing for Men, Feeding the Sheep. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I come from two families of fishermen. On my dad's side, my father, Bob Noland, was the first to fish in his family. When my dad turned 10, his father gave him a fishing pole. By the way, we have one over here someplace. And told him, "Son, go catch us some fish from Turkey Creek so we can have some meat for dinner." You see, my dad's parents were poor, and it was the Great Depression. Fishing for bass, catfish, bluegill, and perch, and hunting for squirrel, rabbit, and small game put some meat on their table that they would not have had otherwise. So Dad learned to fish out of necessity. Dad's brother, my Uncle Buster, also became an avid fisherman as an adult. And then there's my mom's side. Her father, Cliff Erickson, and all of her uncles fished for sport. As a kid, Grandpa Erickson fished in the marshes, streams, and sloughs of Grizzly Bay, near his hometown of Cordelia. Now you know something about me. As adults, Grandpa Erickson, his brothers and sisters, and his brothers-in-law fished for all types of fish throughout the San Francisco Bay, its estuaries, and the Delta. Included in that fishing group was Louis Holter, who was a charter member here of Grace San Mateo. I don't think any of you knew him. Nobody has indicated that. Their favorite sport fishing was lake trout and rainbow trout in the Sierra Nevada mountains. Now, my Grandpa Erickson was very competitive about his fishing, and he usually beat everybody for the day's limit and or the size of the fish. And here is something important to know in this congregation. The only person who ever beat my Grandpa Erickson was Dan Hahn's grandmother, Gladys Hahn. And she that day caught a real whopper. And it's a real whopper of a story which would take up the rest of the sermon to tell. Someday you have to ask Dan, how did Gladys beat Cliff? It's a great story. Now, I was of the next generation, and when I was about 10, Grandpa Erickson took me down to the riverbank in the Sierra Nevadas and taught me how to fish for trout. A few years later, I could go down by myself to the river and try my luck. My brother-in-law, Mike, married into the family, and he too picked up the sport. And if you want to learn fishing today, go talk to Mike, because I haven't done it for years. My father extended the family tradition to the next generation several years ago when he taught all three of my daughters how to fish, as well as any other grandchildren who wanted to learn. So we are a family of fishermen. It was not by accident that Jesus chose, his own choice, a bunch of fishermen to become his apostles. Because what was their job? After he left this earth, their job was to tell stories about Jesus. And guess what? Fishermen are great about telling stories. At least seven of these guys were fishermen by trade. That's over half of Jesus' crew among the 12. We conclude this by verses 1 and 2 of our text. They list in the gospel Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James, John, and two others that are unnamed, all fishermen by trade. The apostles had gone back to Galilee from the festival of Passover, and that was according to Jesus' instructions. Not finding Jesus in the usual places, Peter suggested they go out fishing. They probably could have used the money from the sale of the fish, since their treasurer Judas had gone and hanged himself. And when Matthew, the tax collector, did an audit of the books, guess what? He found that Judas had spent all the money. So they needed some income here. The seven fishermen probably borrowed Zebedee's boats. Zebedee was the father of James and John. It was a beautiful spring day, not more than a week after the spring equinox, a day like today. They put out onto the Sea of Galilee as the sun was setting. The moon was either in a waning gibbous or a last quarter phase, and that, I can tell you, is the perfect time of month to catch a load of fish at night. And they tried all the best places. But after 12 hours or so, they were exhausted, and they had nothing to show for all their work. As Grandpa Erickson would say, they got skunked. On the rare occasion when my father came back from fishing skunked, Grandpa Erickson would tease him mercilessly. Grandpa almost always caught his limit, which in those days was 10 trout. Now, if Grandpa came back without a limit at dinner time, my dad would tease him. That meant that Grandpa would go back to the river after supper and try to catch his limit before the closing time after dark. You see, teasing is what fishermen do to each other, and it's just part of the sport. In our text at this point, Jesus appears to do just this sort of teasing. It was dawn. So, as it says in the text, they couldn't tell who the person on the shore was who was calling to them. They just heard a voice, and the first words to them were, "Hey, boys!" Now, the Greek word there is paideia, from which we get the word pediatrics. And the form of address indicates someone who was their senior. They probably thought he was Zebedee, or one of Zebedee's cousins or old friends. The next phrase was, "Don't you have any fish yet?" You have to catch it the right. It's not the question, do you? It's, don't you have any yet? That's a little bit of a tease there. Like, why don't you have any fish yet? And the apostles caught what he was saying. "Try the starboard side of the boat," came the next cry from the shore. The apostles were too tired to question the advice, and they needed the money. So they cast their nets and immediately found them filled with fish. When they counted the fish on the shore, the number is exactly right. It's right here in the text. Just like fishermen, they know the exact weight and the number. It's 153. And that was enough to feed all the apostles and have enough to sell for cash at the fish market in the morning. John looked at the catch in the net, and then bingo, light goes on. He remembered a remarkably similar event that's recorded in Luke 5, 4-11. And this is his flashback in his mind. On that day, about 3 years earlier, they had also fished all night and got skunked. Jesus had told them to let down their nets, and Peter did so only reluctantly. After a great catch of fish that caused their nets to break, Peter had bowed down before Jesus and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Jesus had replied, "Do not be afraid. From now on, I will make you fishers of men." And that day is when Peter, James, and John left their fishing trade to follow Jesus. It was indelibly burned into their memory that day of their calling. After this flashback in memory, John told Peter, "Hey, Peter, it's the Lord." Peter didn't even take a second glance, and he jumped right into the sea. James and John said, "Wait, we need help with these nets." Peter was already on the way, swimming to the shore. Now, it was, as you might expect, a joyful reunion. Jesus baked some fresh bread. I'd like to think it's sourdough, but that's because I'm from around here. Grilled some fish, and they all ate it together. It was a wonderful meal after a long night of work. They all watched those fish flop around in the shore, chased away the seagulls and pelicans that wanted to eat the fish, and enjoyed the warming air as the sun came up. A bit later in the verses that follow our sermon text, Jesus walked with Peter along the shore, probably privately, as the rest of the apostles cleaned the catch of fish. Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Peter said that he did, and Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Three times, "Feed my sheep." So what is this story all about? Why is it here besides to prove that Jesus had been risen from the dead? In that spring morning by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus renewed and reaffirmed his call to the apostles. By repeating the miracle of the fish, Jesus reminded them of his first call when he said, "I will make you fishers of men." This was their task as evangelists or missionaries for the church. It was their specific call. By repeating, "Feed my sheep," three times, he was reminding Peter and the apostles of the other tasks that he had assigned them. And this was their task as pastors of his church. Today, the church still fishes for men and still feeds Jesus' sheep. Congregations together call missionaries through our synod to fish for men overseas, or by starting new churches in the United States as missionaries at large. Congregations together train pastors and missionaries at our synod seminaries, both of which this week held call services, by which these young men are called to serve congregations in this nation and around the world. Congregations call pastors to feed Jesus' sheep through preaching and teaching the Word of God, dispensing the sacraments, exercising church discipline with the keys, conducting Orthodox worship services, visiting the mortally ill, visiting the disabled elderly, and caring for the poor. Individual Christian believers, the members of these congregations, and pastors and laymen together fish for the souls of men, with the gospel of eternal salvation for all who believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. The Christian church will keep on fishing for men, and feeding Jesus' sheep until he returns. That is our calling and our duty as Christians and as his church and congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.